I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to the Junk Time Advert Podcast for Round 11, 2023. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who, after a lot of misses, has finally got a hit. This is Adam Rosenbarks.
G'day, Michael. G'day, Junk Timers. And it is so nice to be joining you on the show today with just, I've got good news. I have good news to bring to the show.
You're happy. Now, you're up and about, mate. Yeah. You're up and about.
Obviously, this is news that would have rippled around the world when it was announced on Monday that David Koch would no longer be host of Sunrise after, what, 21, 22 years, something like that?
21 years. I think he said 20 premierships. And I looked at the calendar and I was like, no, one, mate, one.
Only one. And he's seen at least 17 Carlton wins in his time as host of Sunrise. But Koshy stepping down, I went in, had a chat with Channel 7 and put forward my case to be the new host of Sunrise. And I've got to say, I reckon they're into a lot of my ideas.
I would watch that show. I would actually like to watch the Adam Rosenbarks show at 5:30 a.m. I think they'd be good.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, 5:30, depending on what time, you know, the pub kicks us out and we get down to where do we do it from? Martin Place?
Yep.
Right. Sorry. Brekkie Central. Yeah, which will have to obviously be renamed Wayne Jackson Studios. Yep. I mean, you know, we've got to fucking be consistent right across the board. So here's a few little things that I went in there and I said, look, I'm happy to do it, but there's obviously going to need to be some changes, as you would understand. Cash cow, gone.
Yep.
In comes the cash low dog. And you know what the cash low dog does, Michael? He circulates around all the dodgy pubs and pub tabs around Australia, and he sees if you're having a bit of a tough time on the animated greyhounds, the cash low dog will just slip you an extra 20. So you don't have to take it away, you know, from your kids' lunches or anything. You don't have to sneak it out of your partner's purse when you go home. The cash low dog is there to look after Australians like you and I who need it the most.
I feel like actually now that we're talking about this, I feel like can I get in on this action? Like, I feel like a Junk Time breakfast TV show like could be a thing that captivates the nation.
Well, it's not a bad idea. And you know what? The cash low dog could also help out. Say you've got a meeting with someone from, say, an outlaw motorcycle gang, and you need cash for a certain product. We will provide you with laundered cash at a very achievable rate. That's what the cash low dog does. He offers it, and it's only like 10% in the first week, and then 10% on top of that until we take your house and your children.
And let's not forget, like, we are proudly backed by one of Australia's largest betting companies, the JunkBet Foundation for Children.
That's right. We know how to look after people. So that's one of the things that I put forward. Now, Sam Mack, he's had a pretty good run as the weatherman on Sunrise. He's done a great job. He's taken over, I think. Did he take over from Grant Denyer? Was he immediately
did,
after
I believe,
that?
Yeah. I think he took over from Grant, yeah.
So I just think, you know, it's a bit too similar. We're getting the same kind of things of, you know, funny guys. And you want another funny guy. Yeah. I went in and pitched a guy who wouldn't love to see this man deliver the weather every morning as you're sitting there going, I wonder what the weather is going to be like in my town today. You've got Warwick the Whiz Capper giving you the weather. And he doesn't just give you the weather, Michael. He gives you everything that's going on around your neighbourhood, what's happening. He gives you a few jokes. He says that his penis is 2 inches from the ground. And you get that every day. Yep. You know, when you get the Whiz, you get the same. You get exactly what you need on a day-in, day-out basis.
And the thing I like about that, too, it can be a family affair by the fact that Whiz can end everything with, I love you like a brother, but I am from Tasmania.
Exactly.
And mum and dad and kids involved every morning.
Wouldn't the people of Hobart just to go, he goes, and of course in Hobart, today it's going to be 27, and don't forget, I love you like your brother, But I am from Tasmania. And I just think I just think it's a really great opportunity. And also, who wouldn't love to see the Wiz, you know, down at like a primary school bake sale?
Yep.
Why wouldn't you want him down there? Or, you know, out at a local football club or, you know, down at the Country Women's Authority, you know, when they're – I don't think it's authority – Country Women's Association when they're doing their bake sale.
Country Women's Authority sounds like a militant group.
Yeah, well, you know, you put the jam on the scones first, they'll fucking come for you. So, two big changes there. Now, obviously, they came to me and they were like, well, what about a co-host? Nat Barr's been there only for a few years. Yep. She took over from Sam Armitage. I'm like, I'm sorry, I know it hasn't been very long, but there's only one co-host that everyone wants around Australia, and they want it on a daily basis. They want Robbo. So you see him, and he could probably still do 360. I could see Robbo at both ends of the day.
Oh, for sure, for sure. I think Robbo is at his best at 5:30 in the morning and at 7 p.m. at night.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know what we do, though? Okay, to give Robbo a bit of a break, is maybe he doesn't have to be in the studio at 5:30, but the cameras are on him at 5:30. So whatever time he gets into the studio, you've got like a little picture-in-picture following Robbo, you know, like the streamers have, and you get to see Robbo as he makes his way, you know, as he fucking stumbles out of a tab or, you know, he's kicked out of a strip club or whatever it is.
No, I like that idea. Like, he kind of co-hosts the show and you have, like, the CCTV from Martin Place and it's just Robbo stumbling along the bitumen there at 5:30 a.m. And it's like, he's still co-hosting, but he's just, like, wobbling a bit, like, walking on Martin Place.
We've just got him mic'd up all the time just in case he says something that we all want to hear. So I think that's going to work. And I'm sorry to say this, but Mark Beretta. So he's obviously everyone's favourite sports reporter.
The name brings so many great memories to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Whenever you've had news on sport delivered in this country, you always think, I want it from Beretta.
Yeah, but it kind of goes Richie Beno, Bruce McAvaney. Mm. Barrett's, yeah.
Barrett's, absolutely. Well, we're going to replace Barrett's with Kane Corns.
Oh.
So every news story turns into clickbait, no matter what it is.
Sure.
You know, if Australia beat, say, Samoa in a soccer qualifier 8-0, he is going to come and say why Samoa are tanking this time around.
Yeah, sure.
And really get stuck into the, you know, the Samoan board and how the coach needs to go.
Yeah, sure. Like there's like an under 12 like baseball tournament, like, and a kid kind of, you know, gets struck out like three times. Like Kane Corns says that kid should go.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. When they go to the hot dog eating competition, he's not happy with, what's his name?
Joey Chestnut.
He's not happy with Joey Chestnut. He thinks, you know, he's been there, he's had it too good for too long.
Yep, sure.
And so people need to look into his background. Has he been juicing himself? What is he doing? Kane Corns not happy with it.
Yep, sure. Joey Chestnut resting on his laurels after winning, I think, about 12 in a row, I think.
Should have been more.
Well, I mean, he did. How many? He lost to Kobayashi, obviously, and then he lost to Matt Megatoad in 2015.
See the sadness here, Junk Timers, that Michael knows the details of the
but I went
hot dog eating competition.
You know that one. I went there, didn't you? You know that one?
Yes. What was it like being there?
It was actually pretty cool. It was pretty funny for the Junk Timers out there. So I went to the Coney Island hot dog eating competition on July 4 in New York. And so you catch a train about an hour maybe from, you know, Manhattan.
Yep.
And you get to that Coney Island amusement park and then they have it set up. And the cool thing is that the MC, who has a name I can't remember now, but he treats it like they're the best athletes in the world. So it's got a bit of... actually combines two of my loves, hot dogs and wrestling. And so he has a bit of the kind of the you know, he does like very grand intros for like the 10 contestants. And
So they build it up like it's a real event. They know that they're having fun with it.
Yeah. And then...
But unlike wrestling, it's genuine hot dog eating.
No, you're right. And then Joey had lost the year before.
Oh.
And then he came back and won that year. So Joey, I think the MC, if I remember correctly, said that Joey actually had a fiance that he broke up with. And so I think the MC was saying he was heartbroken and he couldn't eat the dog. It
hurt him too much.
He was a broken man.
Now, do they have like an undercard? Like, are there people eating, you know,
they
fries?
They have a women's event before the men's event, so they do have an undercard. And I have a suspicion, but I think I might be making this up. I feel like Joey might have been engaged to another championator, but I could be making that up.
Okay.
But anyway, he did about 80. And my one memory I have is that there were a bunch of guys in front of me who had big cardboard cutouts of Joey's head. And at the end of it, this kind of older guy came up to them and they were like, hey, can I buy one of the cardboard cutouts? And like, yeah, if you want, you can just have it if you want. Like, why do you want it? And he's like, oh, that's my son. And they're like, oh my God,
Mr. Chestnut's
dad. And so these guys were like getting photos with him and like kind of hugging him and stuff going, oh my God, you're Joey Chestnut's dad.
And let's assume he's American. It's clearly going to be Joey Chestnut Sr.
I hope so. But no, but Chestnut, like he does, here's an interesting competitive eating fact. Is that, you kind of think bigger people are kind of going to be there for it. But the fat on the body pushes against the stomach and therefore...
is that right?
Yeah, it shrinks the stomach. And also, like, you have to drink water to expand your stomach. And Joey didn't invent this method, but I think Kobayashi invented it by dipping the hot dog bun into the water before eating the hot dog. Yeah. And Joey took that on, obviously. And anyway,
now, you said he ate 80?
It was about 80-ish, 7-ish, yeah. It kind of goes
and how,
about 70,
in what time frame?
10 minutes.
So 80 in 10 minutes?
He had 20 after 2 minutes. I remember that one. He had 20 after 2 minutes. Yeah,
Jesus Christ!
And even though
he doesn't have to, pay for them. Obviously,
I actually thinking back on it now, when you think about like Manhattan, New York, that area, like I think it's got a population about 8 million or something, incredibly densely populated. And now I'm looking back on it, and I realize like even though I was surrounded by more people probably than anywhere on Earth, I was also simultaneously the loneliest man on the world.
Exceptionally long. You know what they're missing out on there, though, is okay. So he wins the competition. He's eaten 80 hot dogs. I want a camera following Joey Chestnuts around for the next 24 hours. I want to see the agony that motherfucker goes through.
Well, I actually wonder what the rule is. Like, can you vomit? Like, are you allowed? I imagine you can't, but maybe it'll actually kind of not make for great TV because they put it on ESPN like 3 or whatever. Like they don't put it on the main channel. But, is there a rule like, you can't vomit for like another half hour or something? You can't immediately rush to the bathroom and, put your fingers down the throat kind of thing.
Okay, so at the end of it, I don't know why I keep asking you questions about this
competition. No, because I have a long, lengthy history.
So at the end of the competition, they don't give a 10-minute break and say, hey, we're going to wait before we announce him as the winner to see if he does keep it down. They go... time's up. He fucking smashed
it. Yeah, no, he was generally regarded as the winner, and then they kind of get a photo. He gets the mustard belt, and then they do the promo photos, which is like Joey Chestnut holding up like a plate of like, 80 hot dogs that they have already ready. And then you kind of drift off to the world of Coney Island, and, it's a magical world, mate.
Do you get some saltwater taffy?
Taffy? Oh, it's like... taffy?
I don't know. Is that toffee? I don't know. It always seems like something they eat in the fucking boardwalk in the States. I don't know what it
is. Yeah, sure. Yeah, you feel like it's like an old-timey... I mean, in Coney Island is like an old-timey theme park, like...
Luna Park, kind of?
Yeah, but like...
But along the boardwalk?
Yeah, yeah. But more... I mean, Luna Park, I haven't been there for a long time, but like... I'm sure they make sure that the rides actually...
Since you've been banned.
Well, I figure like they make sure like the rides actually work. Like they,
okay.
Like I'm not sure if they're doing that at Luna Park nowadays.
No, that's a very good point. So, back to Sunrise. I'm about to be the new... I would say within the next couple of days I will hear that I will be the new host. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, sure, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. I think it's going to be good.
And you know what I've actually been really loving and looking forward to this year? Da-da-da-da-da! Mate, have you got a mechanic? Because the wheels have fallen off, mate. The wheels have fallen off.
I don't think we need a mechanic. I think we need like a new fucking car. We're like a Tesla that's fucking the battery's just caught fire and everyone's just standing around just watching it going, fucking hell, this is no good. And you're like, yeah, well, someone do something about it.
I was listening to Crunch Time, actually, the podcast, the Crunch Time on Saturday, and they just fucking teed off on Carlton for like 40 minutes. Like, I watched part of it. I can't say I watched the whole thing, but I don't think the Sydney game is that awful. Was it that awful?
I actually didn't watch it. I was out. Yeah. But, like, I saw the things that I read is that we couldn't kick. So we kicked ourselves out of the game, and then we've just got no heart. And then there was a fight in the rooms after the games between our president, Luke Sayers, who is just about to duck off to Italy, which is a perfect time for it, because wouldn't you?
Yeah, no, he's heard the word PwC a few too many times and wants to get out of out of the country.
And, well, I think that just rings true that someone associated with Carlton has a dodgy backstory. I think that makes him perfect to be president. So he got into a fight with Craig Matheson, who is the nephew of Bruce Matheson, who's like the fucking big moneymaker down at Carlton.
Yeah,
and
sure.
He's the man with all the pokey machines. And so they had a bit of a blue in the rooms, and then Craig Matheson resigned the next day and said his position was kind of untenable and didn't want to be part of it.
It's funny, the Mathesons, like, I mean, good on you, Craig, for kind of putting your hand up, but this Bruce man who kind of like is mythological kind of figure, you know, have you ever seen him? Like when you go like the Carltonian things, like, do you know what actually he looks like?
No, I think he's based on the Goldie. Yeah. I think he might, he's your kind of 4D cinema Curly Whirly Fries kind of bloke.
Yeah, sure, sure. Maybe he negotiated the deal from King Tut's putt putt going down to the
He saw a bargain. That's why he's so rich. He knows when things are on offer like that, he just snaps it up.
But it's kind of interesting, like, by the fact he's always regarded as, like, you know, the pokies king. I think he's worth like about $1 billion.
Yeah.
And he's always kind of comes at it like 3-4 times a year and trying to tease off on Carlton. And he must give money to the club by the fact that he seems to have sway but never actually kind of puts his hand up to actually do anything. Now, I don't know if he's 65 or 85. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, no, he supplies, I think, 4 clubs, like gaming clubs, to the club, like Hawthorn had.
Oh, okay.
That give Carlton, I think, about $20 million revenue a year.
Yep. Gotcha. Yeah, wow.
And so Carlton, you know, they've talked about getting off the pokies.
Yeah.
But you know, they're just waiting for that next big win, and then they'll get off, Michael.
Yeah, sure.
Then they'll get off them.
Sure, sure. And then on top of that, Caroline Wilson actually had to apologise to Patrick Cripps because she alleged that he had stayed at a hotel other than the team, which I find very fascinating. And actually, Cripps was like, kind of have a go at me, but don't question my commitment or my integrity.
Yeah, but well, basically, because he did stay at another hotel, but he did that on the Saturday night when the rest of the team had gone back and he went and stayed with his family. So he was technically in a different hotel, but he was always with the club while the club was up there.
But they stayed at a boutique hotel in Paddington.
Mm.
And I'm quite fascinated by what that could be. I know a couple of hotels. There's one I kind of know, which is like a bit... Actually, you stayed there. I've stayed there as well. And it's a bit... Do you reckon the one near the State Theatre? Is that in Paddington?
Oh, fuck, I can't remember.
Yeah. There's one that's a bit kind of like... A bit kind of theatrical, I suppose. Like the...
Not the QT.
Yeah, yeah. The QT, I think it is. Yeah.
Okay. There's one... The only QT I stayed at is in the city. I don't know the one that's in... I didn't know they had one in Paddo.
Okay, we'll go fishing around. But it's trouble at Carlton, Adam.
Yeah, but I mean, if the guy doesn't stay, and I think if anyone is okay to not stay with the club, I mean, do you want to go home and hang with those fucking losers after the game? Like, you just be seeing them in the foyer like, oh, geez, you were shit. And Cripps was shit. They were all shit. They should all just fucking stay wherever they want. They should put them up like, what do they do? You know, when people go out, they just put them up in other people's houses.
Yeah, yeah. Billet.
Billet.
It's actually funny though, actually, like to get something that small that wrong. Like, you know, no harm on Caro by the fact she's, you know, the first lady of football. But it's actually kind of funny that you could go with that and it's such a kind of minor thing and still not get it right, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's not a hard thing to double fact check.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like you just log into Cripps' credit card and you kind of, you know, you get but you send exactly. You send him a phishing email and he
yeah, yeah, yeah. You check his words. Let's not forget though, the Caro, and this is not a Caro witch hunt here, but she also said that Clarko would be coaching Essendon last year.
Oh, okay,
she
gotcha.
Kind of got that wrong as well. Yep. So she had a couple of shockers over the last couple of big bombshells that she's dropped.
I suppose so, yeah. Hey, you went to a bloody bombshell. You went to the boxing the other week.
I do. I talk about, mate, football is in real life fucking everywhere,
really?
Michael.
Smorgasbord.
It was. So it was the fight that I was there for. The main guy was Parker, was the guy who fought, and then Nikita Zhu was on the fight before that, and then Cam Mooney and Tom Bell Chambers fought.
Gotcha. So was that the main event?
It was on the part of the pay-per-view, so that was like the third last. So it kind of went football players fight, then Nikita Zhu, then the heavyweights.
Yep.
And the last two fights were one, the Nikita Zhu one was like 90 seconds instead of, I think, 6 or 10 rounds.
Yep.
And the last fight, the heavyweight fight, was about 35 seconds.
Oh, really? Wow.
So it was kind of good. We were out of there early. You're like, oh, yeah, we saw some fights, and now we go home.
Yeah, I kind of feel like you kind of, do you get your money's worth, though? Do you kind of, or do you kind of
I mean, you'd be disappointed, you know, if you paid your money and you paid for your pay-per-view. But then I almost got to see an Eshay punch on with the security afterwards. So, yeah, you get your money in other ways.
You said you went to the boxing. Yep. No need to add that. I know that would have happened.
Yeah, exactly. So, you get your entertainment in other ways. But there was footballers galore.
Sure. So topic three, what venue were you?
It was Margaret Court.
Yep, sure. Ooh, and, gee, not a good look at him going there.
No, I know.
Freebie?
It wasn't Freebie. I was a guest of Fox.
Yep, sure. And who was the kind of main promoter? Like, who was, you know, the event brought to you by?
Yeah, I cannot remember their name, but they had brought out Tyson Fury, who is the English heavyweight champion.
Yep.
And he was wandering around and, you know, doing all, you know, doing stops and photos and stuff. And he was really, you know, just doing exactly what you would want from a heavyweight boxer to promote the sport. And he was great. He was just walking around, getting photos with everyone. He was really lovely.
Because I was listening to Hutchie and Purple on their podcast yesterday, I think. And Hutchie made the point that that the footballer fighting thing is actually taking off, kind of to the detriment, in a way, to the actual boxers. So these kind of, I don't know, hit and giggle kind of,
yeah,
you know, kind of taken away from the actual trained people.
Pugilists.
Like, you know, the students of the squared circle.
I hear you.
Fisted cuffmanship. But I kind of, that's why I asked about the promoter, by the fact I imagine it was a betting company or something. But like, you know, you go, oh, we can have a card, pop, you know, Dermot Breton fighting, you know, Sam Newman, and we can get another 2,000 people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do wonder, though, would anyone be there for the footballers? Like,
I mean, in terms of promo for it, I mean, I suppose if you're the company that's promoting it, you get your banner seen on the Channel 7 News. Like,
Yeah.
So
anyway, if you watch back the fight, I'm in shot a hell of a lot.
Are you?
Next to Mick Malloy and Titus O'Reilly.
Yeah, gotcha.
In between.
That's great.
With the boys, near Dave Thornton, near Tommy Little.
Fucking hell, it's a who's who.
Near Limo, you know, just fucking just hanging out.
It's a who's who of who gives a fuck, Adam.
Just sitting behind Adam Briggs, you know, just whatever, man. You know, I'm just hanging out with my peeps. That's what I do. That's how I roll. So, footballers in real life, like I said, smorgasbord. There was Bradley Hill, who was sitting next to Bobby Hill, who was sitting next to Jade Gresham. So a couple of the St Kilda boys with the Collingwood player. And I don't know if Bobby and Bradley Hill are related, but I spoke very briefly to Bradley Hill. He was sitting in front of me and I said, Hilly, and I asked him a question. I can't even remember what it was about. And chatted to him like it was a mate and he answered me. It was good times.
Yeah, wow, sure. I should have asked him about the three-peat. Mum was in the crowd.
I didn't want to,
you know, 2013.
Tom Mitchell was there. Jarman Impey was there. Yep. Our boy Jake Stringer was there with Jordan Ridley, the other Essendon backman. And I spoke to former, Fitzroy, maybe Hawthorn. I know he had something to do with Hawthorn. And former Carlton coach Johnny Barker. I spoke to Barks.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He kicked the goal in the semi in 2001.
Yeah, okay.
Over against Port Adelaide. He was a Fitzroy player. Yes, he was one of the few who got taken over in the I'm making that up. No, he didn't go to Brisbane, but I think
he didn't go to Brisbane, did he?
Yeah,
no.
I think Hawks picked him up after that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So I had a bit of a chat to him, asked him if he was going to be coaching Richmond as a bit of a joke, and he laughed and said, "No, I will never coach again."
Oh, really? Gotcha. That's very somber and probably not the right question for the boxing, which is a fun and frivolous event, you know, keep it light.
And so, obviously, the boys from the Bounce were there because they were watching their co-host Cam Mooney fight against Tom Bell Chambers. Now, the thing about that fight is Bell Chambers, I think, had a reach of about maybe 15 centimetres more than Moon's. but he was Bell Chambers was 24 kilograms more than Cam Mooney.
Yeah.
So as soon as it kind of started, you're like, oh, fuck, this is not going to go the way that they want it to go. And so Bell Chambers kind of landed one on the chin of Moons and put him down. And, you know, we had Cam Mooney on the live podcast. He's not a fucking small bloke.
No, no, and he's not an unfit bloke too, because I actually remember saying to him, I was like, how are you still so fit after all these years? And he was like, oh, I actually enjoy the training. Like, you know, I enjoy it. So, you know, but I was like, dude, you're fucking ripped. I was like, I was like touching him, like, you know, on his pecs and biceps, and I was like looking him in the eye and just kind of
it was good.
But they the thing I actually noticed from the fight was that how big Bell Chambers was.
Well, and that's the thing, is that Bell Chambers, so Moons would try and hit him, Bell Chambers would just sway back, and then Mooney's left with his hands hanging out in front, and Bell Chambers would just hit him on the counter.
Yeah, sure.
And then, so, you know, you could see that they kept cutting to the, on the big screens, the guys from the bounce, I was like Dicko, Gazy, and Jason Dunstall were sitting there watching. And then, so then in the third round, I think it was the third of three, and then Bell Chambers just fucking like put him down.
Yep.
And you could just, everyone in the crowd just went, oh.
Because
it was like really like, oh, we didn't want that. We were kind of, it was fun. And, you know, these two blokes are mucking around. And they actually did pretty well. It was kind of a very entertaining fight. It wasn't as shit boxing wise as you'd imagine.
Yeah.
It brought the respect back to boxing like you would imagine two footballers would.
And it was only like three rounds too. Am I right?
Three rounds of 2 minutes. Yeah. And so, but when he went down, everyone was just like,
And that by that logic being like, oh, it just got real, like,
I think so. And the ref, like, I watched back the thing, and the ref was like, mate, stay down, don't get up, don't move, just stay there.
Yeah, sure, sure.
So he kind of got smoked.
Oh, well, that sounds like we're questioning the integrity of boxing and the referee. I mean, I know that would never happen in the sport of the sweet science.
That's right.
So do you reckon a junk time pay-per-view you may
absolutely
in the ring.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll get you know what we'd redo, you know what you'd really get people in the pay-per-view, redo the fucking Ramsgate. So if you had Josh Carr and Mark Ricciuto, who's not fucking paying for that?
We couldn't be too far from like a 20th anniversary or something like that. So Rui retired in 07,
pretty close.
So I imagine having a few years before that.
Yep.
Like, fucking hell, mate, I mean, we could be onto something now. Any promoters out there, turn off the pod right now. Hey, footballers in real life?
Would you get Wakes and maybe Alistair Lynch up
there? Let's go. Yeah, okay. Let's work out like classic fights. Yeah, Wakes, Lynch.
Barry Hall and the entire North Melbourne backline when they pushed him over that time.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that as well. Let me think. Ricky Nixon versus Victorian driving laws.
Ricky Nixon versus a tram.
Footballers in real life. From Jono. Hey, guys. Love the bod. Long time listener. Hey, thanks, Jono.
Thank you.
Last year, I visited Munich for Oktoberfest on holiday from my job as an engineer. I'm doing very well for myself. On my last day at the festival, my two Scottish friends and I were indulging in some fine Bavarian beverages from a 9 a.m. for a 9 a.m. breakfast in the Lowenbrau beer tent. We had completely empty tables as it was still early in the day. To my surprise, the waitress brought over none other than the St Kilda football team, with the likes of Jack Sinclair, Dougal Howard, Max King, and Dan Hannabury, to name a few. All fucking Hannah's on the beers in Oktoberfest. Look out! Look out! my Scottish friends had no idea who they were, and I had to try to contain my excitement and play it cool. They were on our table for the rest of the afternoon. I must say, they were all very kind and great value. The highlight was watching the whole team belt out a rendition of Girls Just Want to Have Fun by Cyndi Lauper. Sadly,
would have picked that.
I love this one. This is actually a flashback, and I do love this. Sadly, Jack Watts and the Weizenpulver was unsighted at the festival. Fucking hell, man, that took me back. Remember that story?
Loved, absolutely loved the Weizenpulver, and Australians were mad for it to hear he was just snorting menthol
off like the
at an Oktoberfest.
Anyway, a beer lady. This happened to be 10 days prior to the sacking of Brett.
No, but he's allowed to. It was consensual, Michael.
Well, no, it was fine. Also, it's like it's a completely legal thing. Like I think it's essentially like a sugar rush, you know? Like it's not like he did nothing illegal. This happened
absolutely
to be 10 days.
Not Not on the vision.
This happened 10 days prior to the sacking of Brett Ratten, and now makes me wonder if the team would have known about the surprise sacking that was to come when I saw them. Thank you, Low Dogs. Okay, thank you, Jono. I've been to, like, the German beer hall, and I can't quite remember which town that was in. Like, the big old-fashioned, you know, people walk around with four steins in each hand kind of thing. But it would have been
Munich. It's a very Bavarian kind of thing to do.
Yeah. So I went to Germany, and it was actually kind of an interesting way to see the place by the fact that it's kind of a weird story, but like I went to Stuttgart, where I had a mate who lived there, and his brother and him, the part of the family, like they're Australian, but like they're German background, and so the family sold opals.
And oh, so, okay. Oh, right.
So I got in a car for them for about a week, and we'd go from, I think we went to about five different towns during that week. And yep. So we'd kind of get to a new town, and they go off during the day and try to sell opals to the jewelry stores. And I just go search the town. So I remember went to Munich, went to Hamburg, went to, where did your family hang out for the rallies? Oh, Nuremberg, yeah.
Nuremberg, yeah. Yep.
So there are a few kind of places like that. So, yeah, it was actually kind of very convenient and quick way. But I remember one night we went to, maybe it was in Munich, went to like the big old beer hall where, you know,
yeah.
You got on the fucking pulver, mate. You got on the fucking, yeah.
I got on the fucking pulver, mate.
I got fucking pulvered up, mate.
Yeah. I remember the first time when I was there and I was backpacking and trying to steal one of the steins. So they're fucking huge.
Yeah, yeah.
They'd weigh like a kilo.
Yeah.
And then just, you know, pathetically wrapping it up in the jacket and the security guard just going, give me the stein.
Yeah, sure.
And it's like, it must happen so often. They're like, come on, mate.
Yeah,
like,
for
give
sure.
It to him and then you just walk
and then
out.
Also, I mean, you know, fair enough, steal it. But like also that kind of thing, like it's probably one of the bigger number one merch things you could buy in Germany in terms of like, you know,
getting
a koala stuffed toy, you know, in Australia.
Yes. And also, too, the idea that I was going to get that and then backpack around with that for
the next three months. 1 kilo piece of glass in your bag.
Yeah.
I think I bought one actually, and I'd been at uni in London for like half a year, so I had probably more luggage than, you know, a backpack. But my last trip, I remember I went to Berlin, and have I told you this one? Like I did like three kind of stand up gigs, and
in Berlin,
yeah. And the first one I did, because I was kind of got there and I was like, oh, actually I don't really have anything to do at night, and I was like, oh, yeah. I'm just going to just do stand up. So I hit up the local Facebook kind of scene, and they're like, sure, come on down. And the first one I did, I mean, I fucking smashed it. But they were to not German dudes. Like, it was all English speaking. I mean,
yeah,
not that they can't,
yes.
But yeah, but like two of them are like backpackers, and you know, you go, yeah, cool. So it's like Americans, whatever. And but the first one I did was an English bloke was the host, and he introed me. He was like, oh, we've got an Australian coming on. And he's like going, oh, Dingo stole my baby. And I just found it very funny that he was about to introduce Michael Chamberlain. And he had no idea
how
close Michael Chamberlain was associated with that event.
Mm.
Hey, from Adrian, I was just waiting to pay for a coffee at a cafe in Albert Park when a tall blonde caught my eye. It was none other than Darcy Moore, accompanied by perhaps his partner heading up the stairs. The cafe owner told me later that Mason Cox was already upstairs, so presumably they were meeting up for a coffee. Darcy was rugged up against the cold and looked a bit preoccupied. Perhaps it was wondering about keeping Mason waiting.
Now, well, there you go.
Now, we got Darcy in another Football in Real Life down below, so I might be able to connect the dots. Maybe we had a Football in Real Life spotting at the same cafe. That would be a first for Junk Time.
Okay.
Okay, we'll read this one from Shane. Was in Melbourne recently to see the Lions romp in over the Blue Baggers. Da, 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 da.
Fuck off, Shane.
So now have a line-tastic Footballers in Real Life to share. Caught the flight back to Bris Vegas, and there in front of me going through security is the ball magnet. Well, we go off through going through security then, won't he? Lucky Neil. Sporting Nike with no socks, black tracksuit pants and a grey hoodie. He was rocking the casual look. I went with a polite nod, which was returned with a respectful smile. with a hint of relief.
Now, I can just say there that, okay, so he's sporting Nikes with no socks. Now, that is someone who doesn't have to pay for their shoes because clearly,
yep.
if you've ever done that, yeah. the fucking the dust does not come off very well. Your shoes end up fucking reeking.
Yeah.
But he's a man who goes, doesn't matter, I'll just fucking turf my side.
Yeah, sure. But I also feel like it's a very Queensland thing to do.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
I feel like
you don't think he's wearing like the little under socks.
Yeah, yeah, the little ankle ones. I get it, but I kind of
you can't do it.
Nah, I've got a bunch, but I'm like only for running and shit like that. Like,
yeah.
I have to be doing an activity to wear them. I can't wear them in normal life. Like, to
you don't wear them with your boat shoes when you go to the
no, because I have garters for my socks.
Yeah, so, okay, good, yeah. great.
I then look ahead and see none other than the legend of Lethal Lee Matthews. What the fuck?
Wow.
All I could hear in my head was a certain squeaky impersonation. It's just one game. Given they are both doing very well for themselves, and Lethal would be doing very well for himself.
Oh, fuck yeah.
They sat at the pointy end. He's got all that housing property thing. What do you call them?
What was it? Oh, fuck, what was it called? Yeah,
Divine
it was like
Homes?
A...
Is that right? No.
Yeah, Divine Homes. Yeah, it's Divine. Okay. Yep, good one.
They sat at the pointy end of the plane. As I wander into cattle class, I spy lesser-known line Noah Answorth wearing a maroon jumper and sporting a happy grin. In my head, I'm hoping the three of them shared more than a few froths after the win against the Blue Baggers and went on a bender to celebrate, and that's why they're travelling back separately to the rest of the team. That's actually kind of interesting, actually. Now, you talk about Cripps and the hotel by the fact that, okay, Lethal and Lockie and Answorth, they've hung around, you know, catch up with mates, whatever, when they've been in town. I don't know how I'd feel if I caught a flight back separately from the club and a top-notch player was up the front and I had to walk up the back. I feel like that might create some division within the team unity.
No, I think, I reckon you know pretty quickly your place in the team. And also, you know what would really suck, right? Say you're Lockie Neal on that team, but you've got in that side, you've got Hipwood and Danaher and McInerney and, I can't remember their other ruckman, the one who's from Geelong. But say they're all these blokes taking up the business class seats because they're tall.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And you go, but I'm fucking Lockie Neal, mate. I'm keeping this side together. And they're like, sorry, mate. You got to go down the fucking the shit end.
That's actually a very good question. Do they, when they do their regular fights, like do the club make a priority? Like do we need to get the ruck people or the taller people into like the emergency seats and stuff like that?
I would say they do. I would say they would have priority booking. And I almost think that most of those flights, if it's a whole team... That's what, say 36 people? So, yeah, they would get priority on that. And then would there be punters on that flight as well?
Oh, fuck. I mean, support staff would be enormous.
Yeah. So they'd probably fill up the whole plane.
I flew to
Perth with Collingwood once.
Yep.
And I remember Travis Cloke being in, you know, the seat that has like the bulkhead in front of it. So it's sort of like an emergency exit seat, but it's not really. It's got that fucking wall.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
Yeah. He had to
sit
there.
Gotcha.
He was lucky to hit it with his foot.
From Kyle, sorry for not getting these footballers in real life. That's the one thing I want to actually do. I want to fly with a team. I've seen teams at the airport. Did I tell you, I saw the Melbourne Storm at the airport last year?
No.
They were kind of collecting their baggage. They come back from a trip. But fuck, man, they were fucking intimidating. Like, you know, you and I, we've been around a lot of footballers in real life.
Mm.
But like the fucking Storm were like, I haven't seen many NRL players, but they're like big and they were like tall and big because they don't have to do the cardio that the AFL players have to do.
Yeah.
And I was like...
No, there was a bunch of them sitting in a row at the boxing and you're just like, I do not want to walk down.
They are fucking frightening. Like, just like, yeah, like a dude like running at you like that. You go, hey, you have the ball. You have the ball. sorry for not getting these footballers from Calf. Sorry not getting these footballers to life in real life to see you sooner, but I've been sitting on one player's Instagram request for a few weeks. This will make sense as you read on. On Anzac weekend, my girlfriend and I made the trip to Melbourne. After landing in the coffee capital on Friday, don't forget the shopping and the laneway bars, and riding on a bus and a couple of trams, We had, I was about to kind of say, maybe Carl's not doing very well, but then I think about it, I go, I do the same thing, hence why I'm doing very well.
Yeah, no, that is right.
And very frugal. We had a short walk to our hotel, the Ibis, Melbourne Central. Fucking...
Oh, the lovely Ibis.
Fucking hell, I feel like I've written this email. Like, it just replicates everything I do to save money. On a walk, a young couple was strolling the other way. Due to mainstream media's male gaze, I was drawn to the woman first, a brunette with a tan brown overcoat. However, my attention was soon drawn to a pair of blue eyes cutting through my soul. The pearly blues belonged to a dark-haired man sporting a short mullet-styled haircut, a young man wearing fresh white kicks, baggy black pants, and a loose-fit T-shirt covered with a dark jacket. It was future ANZAC medalist Nick Dacos. I think a few medals are going to be added to that list.
Yeah, I can't believe that he has pearly blue eyes.
Okay, what's your logic?
I just would have picked Nick Dacos as like just having dark brown eyes.
Of course,
I'm not having a crack at Carl. I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying.
No,
surprised.
I love the attention to detail. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay. Let me get up a picture of Nick Dacos on the computer right now. We got to confirm or deny. Does Nick Dacos have blue eyes? Okay. Headshot right here. Getting up Nick Dacos. Oh, they're beautiful.
Are they?
Oh, they're top notch.
Dreamy.
I've melted already. I can't go on.
Okay. Okay.
Of course, I was wondering if this woman was his partner. They weren't showing any display of affection and were walking more like friends than lovers. Fucking, there's
Can
a
happen.
Lot of detail going here.
I love this.
I followed Nick, a.k.a. Whisper Nikki Dacos on Instagram and sat in his friend followers for weeks.
His requested followers for weeks.
Yeah, sorry. Finally, he accepted my request and I stalked his profile to find no posts of the woman from that night.
Fantastic, Kyle. You know what? I love the story. There's follow-up to it. This is the depth that we love from footballers in real life.
Now, do you follow footballers on Instagram? You have a personal account. I don't, like, we have a Junk Time account, but I don't have my own because I kind of think, why would I ever want to take a photo of myself?
I tend not to. There's a couple of Carlton blokes that I follow that I kind of got to know over the journey, but not really.
Yeah, sure. So it's just like mainly friends or...
yes.
Yeah, sure. Also... I saw Darcy Moore the following day having a coffee with three women at Collingwood Cafe, a coffee. He had his long legs on display and his top half was rugged up in a black puffer jacket. He shared a laugh with the women, one of whom was a dead ringer for him, so I'm guessing they were related.
Well, there you go.
So the previous football in real life for Darcy was in Albert Park.
It was so Albert Park.
Different time.
So it turns out Darcy Moore loves his coffee.
Bloody
it's
hell, mate.
Proven.
He's a cafe-aholic.
Yeah, he's earning too much. This should come into the soft cap.
I reckon, actually, if you kind of went through all of the AFL list, I reckon in terms of a good hang, I reckon Darcy Moore would be probably top of my list, I reckon.
Top.
I reckon in terms of, like, just interesting, smart, good conversation, not a douche.
Yeah, okay.
Just, like, really good bloke. I reckon he'd be top. I'm making that call right now.
I do believe you're right, but I'm fascinated that you went with that. That's interesting.
Yeah. Hey, are we going to hit the road? We are Junk Time Alpha Pod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the Gram. You're hooked.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay. And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.